Hi everyone, my name is Artem. You're listening to KidCast series of podcasts dedicated to digital signage industry. Before we begin, be sure to check out our blog at kidcast.tv. Today, my guest is Dave Haynes, founder and editor of 16.9. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Dave, as we are at the our companies at the Digital Signage Summit in Munich, a lot of questions is raised, and I'd like to ask you some to hear your expertise.
Hopefully, I have some.
Sure you do. You've been in the digital signage industry for 12 years, if I'm correct, or even more.
Actually, more than 20.
Oh, God. Sure you have an expertise. Yeah.
I've been doing 16.9 for 13 plus years, but I got involved in the industry in 1999.
Oh, you've seen a lot of changes.
I'm old.
So, the first question, I read a lot of your publications. Thank you for them. And last year, you wrote about the system-on-chip technology and how it becomes a serious competitor to the traditional digital signage-powered media players, and you were mildly excited about it. So what is your take on the issue now?
They've certainly matured. I've been familiar with them since their launch back in, I think, 2013. And at that time, Sony actually had the first one, but Samsung was the first company to really kind of go after system on chip in a serious way. Mm-hmm. At that time, they were very underpowered. You couldn't do a hell of a lot with them, but the concept was interesting. It was more attractive than the open pluggable devices that some of the manufacturers were doing, where it was basically a slot-loaded PC that still cost a lot of money. It was the reduction in cost that was probably the biggest attractor at that time. But what I find now is most of the manufacturers are doing some sort of system-on-chip display. And when you talk to the integrators, what attracts them about it is ease of installation, speed of installation, because you have fewer cables, fewer devices to connect together, fewer things to go wrong. And then on the solutions provider side, I have spoken with companies that have deployed a lot of smart displays who say their field maintenance costs drop like a stone because there are fewer HDMI cables to work their way loose, fewer things that get, you know, kicked loose or anything else. So they're not having to roll trucks, and rolling a truck is expensive, time consuming, and frustrating for the customer. So anything they can do to reduce their labor costs and increase their uptime is attractive.
But at the same time, I've talked to some display providers at the conference, and some of them have pre-installed digital signage software at a certain line of their displays, and they're not very excited about it themselves. They understand that it fulfills some basic goals, like they can become a whiteboard, they can become a PowerPoint, and that's it. And most of them, they are based on a Windows platform. So again, there is sort of limitations. So we're yet to see the rise of the system on chip. But when do you think it'll become a real, real competitor to these powered media players?
Oh, I think it already is. I've spoken with companies who are pretty well-established, well-known companies who say that at least half, and in some cases 80% of their business now is through smart displays. Yes, I agree that there are solutions out there that are pretty minimal in terms of what they can do, but there are also solutions out there where you have the software companies who've invested a lot of time in that hardware and have basically developed native players. So you have this full range of solutions that go from just essentially getting something to work, getting a web player to work on a smart display, to ones where their whole platform is built around it. And it's very feature rich. So I think it's a serious player already, and competes heavily day to day with the bright sign boxes of the world, and you know, with you guys, and you know, a very small handful of other companies who are using set top devices like Apple TVs.
Mm-hmm. About the solutions, when we talk about the retail visual marketing, which technology will become a bigger game changer? What do you think, 3D interactive displays or AR?
I have absolutely no faith or interest in 3D. To me, that's a technology that's come and gone. I still see to this day companies marketing that, and but because the whole digital signage industry sends me press releases and case studies about what they've done, I can count on one hand with four fingers and a thumb the number of times I've seen a commercial deployment of 3D, mm-hmm. 3D screens. When it comes to AR, I think that's really, really interesting. But I don't really see that so much as a digital signage platform. It's kind of parallel technology that's doing its thing and has its applications in the same way that VR has its applications. What I think may be interesting down the road for certain applications, and you're starting to hear a little bit about it, is companies that are working with voice technology like Alexa and mm-hmm. The Google platform and so on to use that, which I think could be interesting when you come to, let's say, an airport or a hospital where you have multiple languages coming through there, and the ability to walk up and ask an interactive station help you find something, help you locate something using your native language, I think could be quite powerful.
In Munich Airport, there was the thing that fascinated me. I've seen that digital signage display with just a joystick, and it's an information box. You click on it, and you're connected to an officer that gives you information in real time. This is a real person who is on the screen, mm-hmm. and you have a chat. There's no latency in terms of signal, so you don't have to wait like 5 seconds till the signal goes through. And it gives you an immersive experience. And I think that might also work, this visual detection of visual, again, in combination with audio, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like applications like that that solve a real problem where you don't have to go in and try to sell the dream of something. In a case like that, in a busy airport, yeah, you could have information kiosks all through the different terminals of the airport, but all of the people staffing that are probably busy 20% of the time. So, it's not an effective use of your resources and staffing versus having technology and then an operator at one location that can be busy, you know, 90% of the time. And even though it makes for a busy day, it makes for a fast day for them. So it works all the way around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really does. In terms of markets, what are the top five market players when we talk about hardware and software? What do you see?
I think it depends a little bit of when you talk about hardware and software. In terms of playback hardware, certainly BrightSign is an extraordinarily busy company. They're shipping thousands of units a day, and when you see them at trade shows, you see a very busy booth. When it comes to displays, you can't help but look at Samsung and LG, and I think that, and NEC is interesting because they've got an analytics platform that's way, way more advanced than what the other guys are trying to market. Mm-hmm. Philips is interesting because they've kind of come out of the wilderness and are While they're thought primarily as being a European company, they're starting to get a real footprint in North America, which is intriguing, and got a nice range of products. When it comes to the software side, certainly Stratacache is likely the biggest player in the field, but they're very much enterprise focused. They chase whale clients. They're chasing the biggest retailers and the biggest banks and so on. BroadSign is certainly the dominant player on the digital out of home side, and then you have a whole range of companies that are servicing different markets for software. And increasingly, I'm seeing more specialization. So you're seeing companies who are saying, we are focused on this area, and maybe it's workplace communications, maybe it's education, healthcare, and so on. And I think that's very smart, because being a general offer just puts you in this pack with literally scores and scores of companies who are selling very similar products, and it's hard to differentiate.
Which market segments do you see the toughest competition in?
Certainly retail, because everybody has been chasing that for 15, 20 years, and retail is very slow to adopt. So you've got this dual problem of it taking forever to win a deal, and you're competing against so many different companies. And retail is also changing quite a bit. When I would say 10 to 15 years ago, when a retailer decided, okay, we're gonna test, or we're gonna deploy digital signage technology, they were putting flat panel displays all through their stores. And generally, I found that didn't last, that a lot of that stuff got pulled out, because it was just kind of loading a store up with screens and assuming everybody would stare at them, and wasn't really the case. Now you're seeing with retailers that, yes, they're using digital signage, but it tends to be a very high-profile video wall, or increasingly LED video wall, which is a single software license, or a handful of them. And they're going to small displays that are at the shelf edge, that kind of function as marketing tools, but also as dynamic pricing labels and things like that. So it's retail's a really tough one to be in, versus where I see a lot of growth is in workplace communications.
Mm-hmm. In corporate digital signage.
Yeah, absolutely. But where there's a lot of possibilities, and I've written and talked about this on my podcast quite a bit, is to me, the long tail in the workplace communication side is away from the office space and in the back areas of a business, in the production floor, mm-hmm. manufacturing floor, logistics areas, and so on, where you've got a lot of employees who don't sit at computers, who don't have company smartphones or anything else. So how do you communicate to them?
Yeah, it makes sense. Digital signage is the solution that will definitely help achieve the goals.
Yeah, especially with Internet of Things these days, the ability to visualize dynamic data from machinery or production systems that are saying, hey, we're ahead, we're behind, we're on task, this machine's malfunctioning, show a warning on the screen so people know, on and on and on. It's you can do some really cool things.
Yeah, you're right. And what do you think, what might be the underdog in terms of the market? In where we might see a demand growing pretty soon. Well, you said about the office and the signage that might be used in the production offices, but maybe some other as well.
Well, I think what you're going to see in digital signage broadly is, you're going to start to see people who design physical spaces like office tower lobbies, public concourses in mass transit, mass transport, convention centers, big retail properties, and so on. increasingly with DirectView LED, it's getting to a cost level and a level of ruggedization that you can start to think not in terms of building a space and thinking about where would we put a very large screen or a set of screens, to thinking about the whole physical walls of a space, and even the ceiling, and I guess the floor, can be LED. So you go from a design space that has AV technology in it to a design space that is built around AV technology. So the lobby of a building can look like the Brazilian rainforest, or what's left of it, unfortunately. Or it can be the Serengeti Desert or whatever it needs to be. And at a keystroke, it can look different. So instead of making a decision that this space is going to have travertine tile walls for the next 20 to 25 years until we do a renovation, it can be changeable by the minute.
Yeah, thanks for this insight. I've just dreamt about the all these futuristic kind of innovations.
I don't think it's, I agree, but it's not all that futuristic. It's happening now. If you go to the Salesforce lobby of their biggest office tower in San Francisco, you see it. You see it in the Charlotte Douglas International Airport in North Carolina, and on and on. It's starting to be done. It's just the barriers right now is the cost is still a little high, but DirectView LED is coming down and down, and in terms of cost, and the manufacturing processes that are being used are resulting in much more ruggedized displays. So you don't have to be scared to death that putting this out in a public area means it's going to be very quickly damaged.
Do you think that these technologies might be not available for the small business or medium businesses in the nearest future?
Certainly LED is coming down in cost. I think it's a very long time until a nail salon or a local mortgage broker or whatever will have DirectView LED, filling their walls or anything else. But certainly in general, the cost of digital signage has come down to a level where it's affordable by just about any business. There's no reason why they couldn't do it. And the good thing is with things like Apple TV and smart displays and so on, is it's a lot more reliable, and there's no compelling need to just use a TV and a cheap Android device and cross your fingers that it's going to work. You can pull together a very affordable, cost-effective solution with something like an Apple TV and a 16:7 commercial display that's going to tick along nicely for years and years without giving you any trouble.
When we, this conference at Munich, there were a lot of talks about the standardization, and I guess the talks about the DS industry standardization has been around for years. So what are the main challenges for it now, what you think? And most importantly, who might benefit the most from standardization, the large enterprises or small software providers, or both maybe?
Yeah, that's a tough one. There's a lot of what goes on in digital signage in terms of technology development, it's the result of other industries doing things like video compression and so on. So when video compression went from H.264 to 265, you were able to do 4K file sizes at about the size of a full HD file size before. So all of a sudden moving 4K files around on a signage network wasn't a terrifying thing, and playback was easier. So they're kind of outside standards, and other ones that are connectivity and so on are the same sort of thing. Standardization is absolutely needed in terms of the digital out of home sector. You have dozens of companies saying that they have a programmatic solution, but don't really know what that means. Is it demand side? Is it supply side? Is it both? It's for the end user, it's very, very confusing and complicated. I think that would definitely benefit from it. And, you know, there's, I think a lot of standardization in terms of how things are described is needed in areas like computer vision. So video analytics, there's a big problem in the marketplace in that you have some companies who are marketing what they say they have as being facial recognition, mm-hmm. and others saying, no, no, it's face pattern detection. And the moment you say facial recognition, you're freaking out a whole sector of consumers who think, okay, I'm being followed with a camera, when in fact the technology is doing nothing more than locating the or identifying the geometry of a face and saying, okay, that's a face and I think it's male.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I spoke to a company yesterday. I spoke to a company representative who tests new visual detection technology, and when I said facial recognition, they stopped me and asked me not to name it that way because it's, first of all, that freaks out the customers and because mm-hmm. of the security issue. So will security issue also become a matter of standardization?
Yeah. To me, the bigger challenge in the industry as opposed to standardization, although I agree it's there are challenges there, is education. And anything that can be done to kind of raise the level of understanding of what to do with a network, what to have on the screen, what not to do, how to get started and avoid a lot of mistakes is a big, big deal. I'm on the board of the Digital Signage Federation, and I would say our biggest focus is around education and raising awareness of what to do to a level of, you know, we've created micro-credentials courses and so on that help people get into the space and understand what to do and not make a lot of costly and time-consuming mistakes.
In terms of helping people, I guess that media like 69 or Digital Signage Today are sometimes market influencers. Do you agree with that? And how, if yes, how can such media help consolidate the industry?
I'm sorry, you said sometimes are marketing what?
They are market influencers.
Oh, yeah, definitely influencers. I would say that how I go about things and how the other publications in the industry go about things are pretty wildly different. I've been known since I started as the bullshit filter for the industry, and I get bombarded with press releases, but I probably run, I would say, 2% of what I get. Mm-hmm. And when I do write about them, I try to put everything in context so that people understand this is what this is. This is not the first time this has come out. These other companies have done this, but here's what's different about it and why you should care. I find the vast majority of media that's produced around the digital signage ecosystem is just copying and pasting press releases without any critical analysis of what's going on and why the reader should care about it. So I'm quite happy it's like that because I kind of have the field to myself.
Yeah, it's true. And I guess this is fair not only for the digital signage, for any industry from news to, I don't know, hi-fi or music even. It's the copying of press releases and less journalism.
Absolutely. So it's I certainly find that I influence a lot of things, which is kind of an interesting circumstance that I hadn't really expected, but what's fun is I've been told by several companies that part of their employee onboarding process when they have a new hire is they show them around the offices, they explain how they use Slack or whatever collaboration tools they have, and they tell them do this, do that, and every day you need to be reading this or subscribe to 16.9 because they consider that part of the kind of integration into the industry is to read something that's going to let them know mm-hmm. what's going on and what actually matters. So that's really encouraging and fun to hear.
The last question that I ask all of my guests, name one thing that annoys you about the digital signage the most.
I'm trying to think of the one thing. There are many things. I think I get irritated by the amount of exuberant cheerleading for no good reason, where people are excited about something that isn't worth being excited about, and there's I find sometimes a bit of a sheep mentality where something comes out and I see all kinds of buzz around it, and there are people like me, people who've been doing this for 15, 20 years, who are looking at that going, yeah, that's never actually going to work, or why would people even care about that? Mm-hmm. But because they don't invest enough time reading about their industry and doing critical thinking, they just see that and go, oh, that's the thing I should be doing. Great, I'll do that.
Yeah, I presume that might be very irritating.
Yes.
Dave, thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. Visit our website for our blog articles. If you're willing to try KidCast app as a digital signage software, please drop us a note. Have a nice week, and don't forget to subscribe.